Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Gemara begins 3 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis. You'll notice a triangle. We're continuing the series of incidents where someone comes before a rabbi, a sage, for vow absolution. Bar Barte, the Rabbi Yanai Saba, the grandson of Rabbi Yanai. The grandson is being that he is the son of Rabbi Yanai's daughter. Bar Barte de Rabbi Yanai Saba, also the Kamei de Rabbi Yanai Saba. Grandson comes to grandfather for vow absolution. Omar Le, so Rabbi Yanai asks, Ilu havu yadis de paschin pin kosach umemash mishin beuvdoch mi nadris, had you known that one who takes a vow subjects himself to heavenly scrutiny. Paschin, in the Gemara we read some Aramaic words, paschin pin kosach, they open up your record book. In other words, one's actions are scrutinized by heaven when one vows. And memash me beuvdoch, along the same lines, his ways, his actions are checked out, are subject to investigation. Would you have vowed? So upon hearing that, it's threatening circumstances. Omar lay low. So the grandson says, no, I wouldn't have vowed knowing that I'm subjecting myself to being scrutinized by heaven. Vishaya and Rabbi Yanai absolved him of the vow. The Rosh says, let's read the Rosh together. The Paschin Pinkosach Mimash Mishin Buvdach Minashamay Poischin Pinkas Maisov Umidaktikin Bohen. From heaven, in heaven, they open up the person's records and scrutinize his ways. Bishvil Shehu Marshia Lidor, because he has the nerve to take a vow. Vow taking is characteristic of the wicked. Inami Shumachsik is Atzmo Tzadik Bodur Shucholekaim is Nidro, Velo Yikoshobo Kain Iun Tfila, Vochem Adaktikim Bemaisav. Another approach to this is that one who vows is showing a certain amount of self complacency, of self-assuredness, that he is able, that he will certainly fulfill that which he vows. And that's a bit, a bit ostentatious on his part to suggest that he is such a careful and diligent individual, and heaven takes note of that. Are you really so careful? And that arouses heaven to scrutinize the individual. So upon hearing this, as we said, the grandson says, boy, I wouldn't have risked it just to take that vow. Amar Rabbi Abba, my craw, what is the posuk that indicates this phenomenon of vow takers being scrutinized? The posuk says, V'achar nidorim levaker, that after one vows, levaker means he is then scrutinized. V'afagav de posuk Rabbi Yanai lay, even though Rabbi Yanai used that as a method of absolving of vows, anan lo paschinon lay baha, we will not use that method. Now a certain structure is about to develop in the Gemara. We have a nosei mivne hering. The house shape you see introduces signonos shel psachim. different styles of vow absolution that the sage, the scholar, opens up with, prompts with, that are subject to controversy. And you'll see then, in the terms of Gemara structure, certain methods are used, but then we respond by saying, lo paschina, we wouldn't use those methods. He used it, but we wouldn't. And the, say, the foundation, the yesod, under discussion is, when we attempt to absolve someone of his vow by the client's responses, we want to make sure that the client is offering an honest response. That he says, well, had I known thus and thus, I wouldn't have vowed. Now that statement of I wouldn't have vowed, we're interested in it being an honest statement. However, if a person says, upon being questioned, would he have vowed, and he says, I wouldn't have vowed, and he says that only because otherwise he'll end up looking bad. He would be embarrassed to say otherwise. That doesn't reveal his true feeling or his true willingness to admit that he wouldn't have vowed. So once again, we're interested in a person, in his revelation or in his confession that he wouldn't have vowed, to be, I really wouldn't have vowed. And not offering such a response because otherwise he'll end up looking bad. So now, in this case, the feeling is that the threat posed to the person, had you known that you would be scrutinized by heaven, would you have vowed? So the person is saying, no, I wouldn't have vowed, because to say otherwise, he would look bad. We take a look at the Rashi on the third narrow line from the top of the narrow lines. V'lo paschinon l'shum adam b'hai achar nedorim levakir mishum davi iyum godol. This is too big a threat to the individual. Shafil ein daito l'hofer. Even if the person's intention otherwise was not to relinquish the vow or absolve himself of the vow, yoimar achshav shiratzonu lofer, upon hearing this, oh, he'll say, yeah, I want the vow absolved. V'lo behani tarti achrenai sinami. We'll see another two examples as the Gemara unfolds. But mishum davi iyum godol, because the threat to the individual is too great. The person will say, oh, I wouldn't have vowed had I known that, when only because of that threat would this person not have vowed, but not because he truly regrets having made the vow. The Gemara continues, V'lo paschinon behodo achrenaisa. And we would not use as an opening for vow absolution the following. Tioma rabo barba chano rabbi yochanan. My posach le rabo gamliel lahu sabo. What did Rabbi Gamliel use to prompt this Hahu Saba, that old man? Someone came to Rabbi Gamliel for vow absolution, who's referred to here as Hahu Saba, and Rabbi Gamliel absolved him through the following. Yesh boite kemad kerois cherev loshen chachomim marpei. That's a posuk in Mishlei. Kol boite roi ledoiku becherev. Anyone who, boite means to enunciate, to verbalize a vow. Anyone who verbalizes a vow is deserving of being impaled on a sword. Ela loshen chachomim marpei. However, the words of the sages, namely through vow absolution, that serves as a remedy. So that seeking vow absolution through Chachomim remedies the offense of vowing, which in and of itself is worthy of being pierced by being impaled on a sword. So the Gemara's approach to Rav Gamliel is, he may have used that, he may have said that, but we wouldn't use that as a method of prompting someone to regret his vow by saying to him, do you know that vow making is something that is, we'll say, tantamount or guilty of being impaled on a sword? V'lo paschinon b'hoda achronesa. And another method of vow absolution we would not use. Desanya, Reb Nosson Oimer, Hanoider Kilu Bona Boma. One who vows is as if he built a forbidden altar. V'amakaimoi Kilu Makriv Olav Korban. And one who fulfills a vow, it's even worse. It's as if he's offering a sacrifice on the forbidden altar. So we have a Tanaic source describing vow taking and vow fulfillment. Now we're going to see two versions with regard to this Tanaic source. Bereisho paschinon, as far as the Aleph point here, telling someone who vowed, did you know that vow taking is tantamount to building a forbidden altar? That we would use in dealing with someone that had a vow, and if they said, oh, had I known that vow making is like building a forbidden altar, I wouldn't have vowed, we would say, okay, you're absolved. However, Basefa is the second point. That did you know that fulfillment of vows is tantamount to offering forbidden sacrifices? So regarding that, Abayor Paschina, Abay says, yeah, we could use that. We could, a sage could present that to the client. Rava Omar lo Paschina. Rava says, no. That's too much of a threat to an individual, where a person will say, I wouldn't have made the vow, even though, in truth, he would have made the vow. He's just too embarrassed to say that that wouldn't bother me. Rav Kahano Masni Lo Laha Shmaitze Bahodeng Lishna. Here is the we'll say the second version. I should say a correction. Rav Kahano presented the discussion as we just saw. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hochi. Rav Tavyumi, on the other hand, he has the above in the following form. Besefa Lo Paschinon. Everyone will agree. Not only Rava, but Abai would also agree that the Seifa, the Bay's expression of Mekayim Kilu Makriv Lav Korban, you're not to use that. So there's unanimity regarding that being too overbearing with regard to the client. But Reisha, however, what about presenting to the client the idea that had you known that making vows is tantamount to building forbidden altars, so Rabbi Omar Paschinon, Abai says, yes, you can present that to the client as a means of getting him to express his regret of the neder. Rava Omar lo Paschinon. Rava says, not even the Reisha, the Aleph statement, is to be used either. The Hilchasa, the Gemara itself, rules lo Paschinon, lo Bereisha, velo Besefa. So the Gemara rules like Rav Tavyumi's version of Rava. Before we go further in the Gemara, in order to gain some additional appreciation of this issue of vow making and forbidden altars, we look at the Ran Hanoida Kilu Bona Boma Bishas Isur Habomas. Bomas are private altars, namely altars that are outside the Beis HaMikdash. And it's true that at a certain time in history, for a limited time in history, private altars were allowed, but generally speaking, they are forbidden. So that's what the Ran means, Bishas Isra Bomas. V'nir B'enai, D'lochi Melina L'boina Boma. The Ran explains what's the connection between vowing and building forbidden altars. Bishum desolak adaita denoider de mitzvah kovit. The person who vows thinks, again, he thinks he's doing a mitzvah. The Rachmona asrei b'mili disura v'yunami osar anafshe v'ka'amar the toy. The adarabah leboyne b'madami. Person who vows, he thinks he's doing a mitzvah. Namely, the Torah has a list of things that are forbidden. Forbidden foods, forbidden activities, and this guy comes along and adds to that which is prohibited, namely his own vow. And we come and tell him, you know, you're making a mistake. To the contrary, you are like someone who builds a private altar. Granted, the Torah says that one who offers sacrifices must offer them in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah warns not to add to that, to build private altars and offer sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. Hachanami, neither Rachman osar lei dvorim asurim. Here too, with regard to vows, granted that the Torah forbids a person from different things. Ki moisif iu a my dosa rachmona, someone who comes along and adds to that which the Torah forbids, per pasha, that's a sin. Kinyin shomer b'yusham per poislin lo daf nash osra tura lashata oisra lechadvar machirim. The Yerushalmi says that not, is it not enough that the Torah forbids you from different things that you have to come and add to that? So that shows the parallel between vow making and the mindset of people that build private altars. And just like building private altars is going beyond the expectations of the Torah, so too imposing prohibitions that the Torah does not prohibit is going beyond the expectations of the Torah. V'shayach beinami hai lishna mishum denoider matvis v'korban v'givin shen korban ha-rotsurim z'kabon ha-bomu makriv b'chutz. Another angle to it is to this analogy is that in making vows, one compares the item that he's prohibiting to something that is offered as a sacrifice. So since standard vow making is dependent on sacrifices, we continue that analogy to the altars and forbidden sacrificial offerings. V'amakaimo, Rashi, the Ran goes on, Kilomar Sheino Nishalolov, a person who has made a vow and does not have it absolved. Kiluhikriv al oisa boma korban v'chayv mishum shlutei chutz, as if he then offered a sacrifice on that forbidden altar that he built, and that is considered an offense of shlutei chutz, offering sacrifices outside the base. I mean, which is a very severe offense. In the Gemara, we saw discussion about use of the Bona Boma analogy and the use of the Mekayim and the Kilu Makriv of Korban. So the Ran points out that the idea of building an altar without it actually being used is not a very big sin. So if a person says, had I known that making a vow is like building an altar, that there's more chance of relying on that, because that's not a major threat. And when a person says, I wouldn't have made the vow, he's quite serious. Because upon hearing that, he wouldn't be embarrassed to say, well, even though it's like building an altar, I still would have made the vow. Being that it's not such a severe offense, he would be believed to say, I would have made the vow anyway, and not been embarrassed to say thusly. However, regarding the seifa, that you know that fulfilling vows that are not absolved is like offering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, there a person would be embarrassed to say, yeah, I would have vowed anyway knowing that. So he's not revealing his true regrets of the vow. He's simply too embarrassed to say, I would have made the vow anyway. We now turn back to the Gemara. V'lo paschinon nami b'hadishmuel. Another Pesach that we would not employ is that which Shmuel did. The Amar Shmuel, afalpisha mekaimo nikra rasha. Shmuel says that even though one fulfills a vow, he is called a wicked individual. So what we're saying is that if you were to present that to a client, would you have made a vow knowing that people who make vows and fulfill them are called wicked? He will tell you out of sheer embarrassment, no, I would never have made the vow, when in his inner feelings he might have made the vow anyway, but he's too embarrassed to tell us that he wouldn't have minded being referred to as a Rasha. So his regret is not revealing his true regrets of the vow, because as we said before, in order to reveal a true regret, we would have had to present an issue to someone that the person would have said, I would have vowed anyway. Not in this case. Shmuel, he has a different opinion on that. That's why he used it to serve as a Pesach. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Avo, my craw. What's the pasuk that indicates that even though one fulfills his vows, he's still called a wicked person? The pasuk says, "V'chisechta lindor lo yebuchachet." That's one pasuk. The olav chadola chadola, and we have a gzera shava that enables us to come to the conclusion that Shmuel reached. K'sivacha kisechta lindor. Kisechta means when one ceases to vow, then he will bear no sin. Uksiv hasam shom rishayim chodlu roiges. So that we see that in order to avoid being called a rasha, one has to cease altogether from making vows. However, if one vows, even though he fulfills it, he's still referred to as a rasha, that we saw through this word comparison of chadola. Omer of Yosef, af ana nami tnina. The Mishnah also reveals this. We saw in a Mishnah back on Daf Tes, kenidre ksherim, if a person accepted upon himself the vows of the righteous, lo amar klum, he said nothing, because it's a contradiction in concepts. The righteous do not make vows. However, if he said kenidre rishoyim, nodar ben nozir ubekorban ubeshvua, if he said like the vows of the wicked, so that binds himself to a number of different restrictions. And what we see here is that the concept of nidorim is associated with rishoyim, with the wicked. Omar Rebbe Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar Rebbe Yonason. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking scheme. And on the side of the Gemara, we have an Osei topic heading, and we indicate this goes until Omid Beis. Begnus HaKas, we're going to criticize and disparage the characteristic of Kas, of wrath. So here the Gemara criticizes the wrathful. There is another marking, a bow tie shape, hashpa'osov shel hakas, the effects that are realized through anger. What does anger cause? What effects does it have? The Gemara, Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer of Yonason, kol ha'koyes, anyone who is wrathful, kol mine gehenim shalten bo, all types of purgatory rule over him. Shenemar, v'osir kas milibcha v'aver ra mibsorcha. That's a pasuk, but how do you see in this pasuk a reference to purgatory, to gehenim? V'ein ra ela gehenim. The word ra in the pasuk is a reference to purgatory. Shenemar, kol pal Hashem lemaneu v'gam rasha liyom ra'a. So in the meantime, we see the Yom Ra'ah, that's a reference to Gehenim, because That's the destiny of the Rishoyim, of the wicked ones. And in the previous pasuk, we saw, remove kas from your heart, remove anger from your heart, and thereby remove remove Gehenim from upon you. V'lo od, elo sha'tachtonius sholtos bo. Not only is one then subject to Gehenim, but one who is wrathful also can experience tachtonius. Tachtonius is a phenomenon that creates great discomfort. It's a type of, let's say, a physical ailment that affects a person in the posterior region of his body. Some might associate it with hemorrhoids, but it's a very painful painful thing to endure. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, and again we're making an association between wrath and this phenomenon of tachtonios. The Pasuk says, V'nosan Hashem l'cho shom lev ragoz v'chilyu ninayim v'davlin nefesh. This Pasuk is a reference to the Babylonian exile. Ezu dover shemechala sinayim v'mbadivis nefesh. Now in the Pasuk we saw that I will give you there a heart of wrath. Ragos is anger. And in experiencing anger, one is then subject to kilyan einayim and davu nefesh. What is it that removes one's eyesight and causes great emotional despair? So hevi omer elu hatachtonios. That's the result of this ailment called tachtonios, whatever it is. We suggested something before, but in Gemara markings we do not commit ourselves to translation of different medical phenomenon and plant life and animal life as well, unless we have a very clear tradition on it. So, tachtonios, whatever it is the subject of the posuk, and the posuk associates tachtonios with wrath. As we go on in the Gemara, we have an incident, and on the side we have this as a subtopic. Maisim Ula Baloy Searza, a little story involving Ula upon a trip that he makes to the land of Israel. And we also have used we've employed a long Maisim marking, which will take you to the top of Omid Beis. And by the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara. Ula b'miske l'ara d'Israel, Ula upon his trip up to the land of Israel, Islavu le, there accompanied him, train b'nei Chozoi bade, two people from Chozoi. It's the name of a place. Kom chad shachte l'chavrei, one of them got up and literally slaughtered his friend. So, we would say a murder just took place in the presence of Ula. Amar le l'Ula, so the murderer says to Ula, Yehu Savdi, did I do a good job? Amar le yin, yeah, you did a great job. Upara le beis hashchit, and not only that, but slice his neck open even wider. Now the Rosh adds, Machmas mura hichzik yodov, he was fear struck. Ula was fear struck, and he said what he did out of fear. He wanted to save his own life. V'gam kidei shimayir lomos. And another consideration is that the victim was still showing signs of life, even though he can't live. So in order to hasten his death, he suggested that. We continue in the Gemara. Ki osa lekame the Rabbi Yochanan. When Ula came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amar lei, Dilma chas v'sholem machziki yidei oivrei avera. Maybe I, heaven forbid, supported a sinner by encouraging him the way I did. Maybe I'm guilty of supporting the ways of sinners, which is something, of course, one is to avoid. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan said, Nafsha chitzata. Rabbi Yochanan says, you saved your own life. Kotoma Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, though, was concerned regarding this story, Michti Ksiv. It says, V'nosan Hashem l'cho shom lev ragoz. B'bovel Ksiv, the posuk that indicates wrathfulness, which was of course the catalyst that generated this murder. The victim apparently had enraged the murderer, and the murderer took swift action and killed the guy. Well, Rabbi Yochanan says that phenomenon is something characteristic of Bavel. And according to the story, they had reached the land of Israel. And how could that be that in the land of Israel, someone would kill someone else out of in wrath? So Omar Le, Ula says, "Hahu Shaita." Ula explained to Rabbi Yochanan that at that moment, at the moment that the murder took place, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Lo Avrinon Yardana. We didn't cross the Jordan River, so that they were still in an area that hadn't had the full sanctity of the land of Israel. And with that, then Rabbi Yochanan's wonderment is resolved. Rabba bar Ravuna, Omar Rabba bar Ravuna, Kol HaKoyes, anyone who is overcome by wrath, Afilu Shechina Eino Chashuva Kenegdo, even the divine presence loses its significance to him. Shinemar Rosho Kegoiva Apo Bal Yidroish Ein Elokim Kol Mazimoisov. The wicked Kegova Apo, when his wrath becomes strong, so in his mind there isn't even any divine presence. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti Amar Mishakeach Talmudo Umosif Tipshus. One who is wrathful forgets his learning and he adds to himself foolishness. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ki kas b'chek silim yanuach. Kas is wrath, is in the bosom of the fools. Uksiv uksil yifros iveles. The fool, yifros iveles means he becomes even a greater shaita, becomes even a greater fool. So that you can see the association. In this pasuk you have, in the pasuk that featured wrath, you have ksilim, and together with that, you see the ksil is someone who is considered one who increases in foolishness. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, Biyadua Shavonosov Merubin Mizuchiyosov. One who is wrathful, it should be known that his sins outnumber his merits. Shenemar Uval Chemo Rav Pesha. The angry one has a majority of sins. Omar Rav Ado Rabbi Chanina Ilmole Chot Yisrael, had the Jews not sinned. This is a reference to the Jews at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. Had they not sinned, so lo nitan lohem elo chamishachum sheitorah v'sefer Yeshua bilvad, they would have received only the five books of Moses and the book of Joshua, and not all the rest of the prophecies, the prophets and the prophecies that are contained in their books. Why the book of Joshua? Yes, b'nei she'erka she'eretz Yisrael hu, because it contains within it the importance of the land of Israel, which is demonstrated, as the Rosh says, is demonstrated through the division of the land of Israel and the establishment of its borders. My taima, what is the basis of having reached this conclusion that we would have not, had the Jews not sinned in the Midbar, then there would have been no need for all the other prophecies. So what's the basis of saying that? The pasuk says, Ki b'roiv chochma rov kas. Now in order to appreciate this, we look on at the Ran. The Ran, you'll find it's back on Omen Aleph, the bottom line, Shenemar ki b'roiv chochma rov kas, b'roiv divrei chochma sanavim, through the multitude of wisdom expressed in the books of the prophets, Yesh Simin L'Rov Kas Shechisi Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like measure for measure. The the prophets had to speak as much as they did because of the large amounts, the massive amounts of wrath that the Jews had, caused on the part of the Borei Olam. The Gemara continues, as you can see, we have a slash mark indicating a new trend of thought that follows. On the side, we have a Nosei topic heading: Ein Nizkokin Lahatir Nidro Shamisha Noda Belekei Yisrael. The idea, the theme here is that someone who swore, who vowed, and used the name of Hashem in his vow, we are not going to help him, turn to him, deal with him in absolving his vows. Omer Ravasi, Ein Nizkokin Lelekei Yisrael. We do not. Nizkokin means we don't assist, we don't attach ourselves to people that vow using the name of Hashem. That's too serious an offense. Chutz mikainim ishti nenes li, shegonvo es kisi v'shehikso es bini. With the exception of a man who vowed to deprive his wife of any benefits because she stole his wallet or stole his money or because she hit his son. The next few words you'll find in many of the commentaries, they don't include this in the text, so we're not going to read it. That's why we have these angular brackets around them. Now, why is that an exception? Here a man vowed using the name of Hashem to deprive his wife from receiving any benefits from him. The reason there is because we're interested in achieving shalom bayis. The concept of domestic tranquility is such an overriding concern that even though the vow was made using such a under such severe or serious circumstances, but we'll overlook our objection to his use of God's name in order to absolve him of the vow and hence achieve domestic tranquility. Hahi dasoi lekamei deravasi. Omar law b'may nadris. A woman came to Ravasi and he asked her, how did you make your vow? And she answered, Belekei Yisrael, I said it in God's name. Omar law e nadris b'moihi shikiri b'amo mizdakikno loch. Had you used a kinui, moi, we saw this quite a while ago in our Masichta. It's an alternative expression for a real vow. It's a real vow, but it's not the formal language. So then I would have attended to your needs in seeking absolution. However, hashta de lo nadris b'moye elo belkei Yisrael, now that you didn't use the kinui, but you said a very direct vow using the name of Hashem, lo mizdakikno loch, I am not going to deal with you. Rav Kahana iklo lebei Rav Yosef. Rav Kahana is a visitor, and he's visiting the home of Rav Yosef. He's coming to Rav Yosef. We'll call him the Balabayas. Omar lei, Rav Yosef, the Balabayas, says, Lito mar midi, offer him to eat something. Would you eat something by me? Omar lei, lo, mori kuli almo lo ta'imno lei. Rav Kahana says, no. And he says, in the name of the master of the world, I am not eating anything. Omar lei, Rav Yosef, the Balabayas, says, lo, mori kule almo, lo ta'imas lei. Very strange response at face value. He's saying the same thing that Rav Kahana said. Ho nicho Rav Kahana domar, lo, mori kula. I understand Rav Kahana, he made a vow not to eat from Rav Yosef. Hello, the Rav Yosef. Am I Omar Lo Mori Kula? What was Rav Yosef's intention in saying what he did? Hochi Hu de Ka Omar Le. Rav Yosef is saying to him thusly: Lo Mori Kula Huda Karmas? Did you not say Mori Kula? Mori Kula is the master of the universe. It's a reference to the Almighty. Hilkach Lo Ta'ima Slay. Therefore, your vow cannot be rescinded. We're not going to deal with you and your vow. Omar Rava, Omar of Nachman, Hilchisa. Here the Gemara resolves issues that we've dealt with till now. One is Poischin Becharata. According to the pshat that we used it when we saw this in our previous year, it would mean that the sage who's being sought out can prompt the client who's seeking absolution with the idea of, do you regret? And do you regret having made the vow? That would be a legitimate form of absolution. And number two, v'nizkokim l'elokei Yisrael, that even though a vow was made using the name of Hashem in the vow, we will still absolve the person, the client, from such a vow. As we go on the Gemara, a new marking appears. You see triangles and double underlines. The explanation on the side under the Mivneh heading, Sidra Shel Maisim Shel Ataras Nedarim, we have a series of incidents involving vow absolution. Rabbonim Shechipsu Pesach Kedei Lahatir. Rabbonim that sought ways of undoing vows. A double underline appears, Havei Le Nidra Le Mishra. In each case you see that so-and-so came with a vow to be, that they had a vow that needed absolution. We also are going to highlight the expression also lekame with a squiggle underline. So as you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll see going down Chof Gimel Amud Aleph also a number of cases like this. The Gemara. Mishtabach le Rava le Rav Nachman Rav Schira Dodom Godol Hu. That means Rava praised Rav Schira to Rav Nachman. Rava described Rav Schora as being a great man, and he described this to Rav Nachman. Omar lo, Rav Nachman, upon hearing about Rav Schora as a great man, he says, when Rav Schora comes to you, bring him to me. Have le nidra le mishra. It just so happened that Rav Schora had a vow that he needed to be absolved. Also le kamei to Rav Nachman, and he came to Rav Nachman, Omar le, Nadris Adaita Dahochi. Rav Nachman asks Rav Schor, did you make the vow with this in mind? Omar Le, yes, I made the vow with whatever it was, whatever Rav Nachman said. I made it anyway, even with this in mind. And Rav Nachman asks, Adaita Dahochi, what about, did you have this in mind? Did you make it even with this other matter in mind? And yeah, that too, I would have made the vow anyway. Kama Zimna, this story repeats itself. You know, in this meeting, Rav Schora repeated this numerous times. Rav Nachman prompted him, and Rav Schora said, I would have made the vow anyway. Well, you can imagine that Rav Nachman is getting frustrated. Ikbid Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman became upset. Omar le, zil lekilach. Rav Nachman says, go home. Go to where you're staying. I have nothing more to say. Nofak Rav Schora uposach pischol nafshei. Upon hearing this, Rav Schora then realized that he has a way out, and he suggested this way out on his own. And the Ran on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, on the second line from the top, Pasuk Pislan Avshei, Lo Shiati Rav Schora Atzmo. Not that Rav Schora himself absolved himself from the vow. Do Kaimelam Lo Yachel Dvoro Hu Einu Mechel. The Pasuk says Lo Yachel Dvoro, from which we learn that a person who makes a vow cannot absolve himself from the vow. El Shemotza Pesach She Yochel Lios Nitarbo. Rather, he just now revealed something that could be the basis of a vow absolution. And the Gemara continues. What is it that Rav Schora just realized? Rebbe Oimer. This is a Mishnah from Maseches Ovis Rebbe says, Esu hi derech yeshara shiyavu lo adam. What is the proper way a person should choose for himself? Kol shehi teferes lo'iseha v'teferes lo'i min ha'adam. Let's take a look at some of the commentaries on this expression. The Tosfos on the word lo'iseha, la'kodesh baruch hu, v'teferes lo'i min ha'adam, shebnei adam mekalsin oisai. What is the proper way for a person to choose? Someone that is pleasing to the Almighty, that you choose a way that the Almighty finds pleasing, and that people find pleasing and will praise Him as well. Let us also take a look at the Rosh commentary. Toward the bottom of the page, Teferes lo yisov, teferes lo min adam, she hi yishora be'enov uv'enei royov. What is the proper way of a person, something that in addition to it being straight and proper in your eyes, it's also proper in the ways of those that be, that notice you, that behold you, that others also praise you for your ways. If your ways are proper to you alone, well, gam derech evil yoshabeinov, the ways of the wicked are proper in their eyes as well. Vehi rosa veha, and in this case, Rav Shora notices rosach Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman became upset. Vadaita dochilo nadarti, and I never would have made the vow, knowing that Rav Nachman could become upset. The chosur of Rav Nachman of the achirim v'yomer lahem pesach ze v'tiru lo. And Rav Shora went to either to Rav Nachman himself or to others, and they absolved him of it. Let's turn back, before we actually continue with the Gemara, there's a commentary of the Ran as well, on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the third line from the top. Sometimes, you know, the commentaries appear, but out of place. So the Ran there says, Kol shi teferes lo'isel shi mitzad atzma meshubachas ad shi teferes lo'odom ha'oisa oisa. A person should choose ways that are so positive that people are glorified through those ways. The Teferes Lo Min Ha'Adam shall kol mekalsin oso ba, that others praise him for this. For Rosach Rav Nachman, klomar lo nadarti al das shichus Rav Nachman. I didn't make the vow, knowing that Rav Nachman would get angry. Shalotei derech yishora shachis oso. This isn't a proper way that I should cause him to get angry. Now, let's turn back to the Gemara text. Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, havelei nidro lemishra. Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, had a neder that needed absolution. Also le kamayo de rabbonon, and he came to the rabbis. Amri le nadarta daita hochi. Would you have made the vow because of thus and thus? Amarin, yes, I would have made the vow anyway. Adaita de hochi, and what about knowing? Thus and thus. Again, the Gemara is not spelling out the details what they were saying to him, but whatever they were saying to him, they suggested ways out for him, and he says, "In, yeah, I would have made the vow anyway." Kamo zimnin, this repeated itself a few times. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Chof Gimel. Vavu mitstari rabbona mishimsha l'tulo mitulo l'shimsha. The rabbis there were pacing back and forth from the sun into the shade, from the shade into the sun, and they were besides themselves. They were straining themselves. They were struggling, and they were becoming upset that they couldn't find a way to get the Rav Shimon Rebbe to express his remorse or his regret. Omar le bitnis bray dabo shol ben bitnis. So a fellow by the name of Bitnis spoke up. And he said, "Me nachris adaita de mitzara bona mitu shimsho mishimsho letulo." He Bitnis asks Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, "Would you have made the vow knowing that it would lead to the rabbis becoming so upset and pacing back and forth from sun to shade and from shade to sun?" Amar lo, no, I wouldn't have. Had I known that this would be the result, I wouldn't have made the vow. V'sharyua, and with that they released Rav Shimon bar Rebbe from his vow. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.